COVID-19 continues to be a problem in Ellis County, but things are looking encouraging. Ellis County Health Services Director Jason Kennedy gives us an update on this episode of the Post Podcast. I think a good way to start with this is just, you want to kind of give us an update on what the latest is here in Ellis County related to COVID?
Sure. Good afternoon, James, and all of Ellis County. Seems like it's been a while since we've talked, and you know, a lot has changed really nationwide since the last time we talked with regards to COVID and with regards to numbers. And so right now in Ellis County, we have seen improvement. We've seen improvement in both the percent of positive and in the number of cases, case rate per day, or like school gating metrics, some of that kind of stuff, use it as cases per 2 weeks. So we have seen some moderate improvement. It's our percent of positive has fallen from really a peak of over 25% to kind of a stable right now around 15%. The percent of positive is still higher than what we would like. We would really like to see it under 10%, ideally under 5%. With that percent of positive, what we've talked about in the past is that that kind of shows the amount of community transmission, or it shows how many of the total people that go in to be tested actually return positive. So right now we're sitting at around 16. Let me look. As of yesterday, it was 16.1% was our average 7-day average for percent of positive, which means that 16% of the total tests that have been conducted in Ellis County return with a positive result for COVID-19. We have also seen our case rate fall. We were around a peak of 190 to 200 cases per 7 days, and we're down to 99. So we have seen a significant decrease in cases per day and the percent of positive. Both of those numbers we would love to see lower. The lower both of those numbers go, meaning the less amount of community transmission we have, and honestly the lowest number of cases per day means that we have less transmission in our community. As we've talked in the past, we do have community transmission. Not all of these cases are associated with a direct link to a positive, and we have had community transmission for a long time. We'd like to see improvements, but it really comes down to the public really paying attention to those basic health measures and really taking an individual initiative to avoid those contacts that might lead to an increase in risk.
Yeah, and something we were talking about a little bit as we were prepping for this. Do you want to talk a little bit about the ways that is transmitted and some of the ways that people can stay safe? Because I think it's a little different than what most people even think of as a transmission point.
Sure. So we've known from the start, really, with all viral transmission, that a predominant amount of viral transmission happens inside the home. And honestly, it makes sense because we know that close contact spreads viruses. So the places that we have the most close contact or the most extended duration of close contact is inside the home. So taking those good measures inside the home, especially if you have a positive that resides in the home, we need to be doing everything we can to isolate that individual positive. And I know that there's a large amount of the population that is extremely difficult, especially when we look at younger kids and elderly parents, things like that, people that reside in the home that can't distance well or can't isolate. So utilizing those best basic health measures inside the home, making sure that we're washing our hands, making sure that we're cleaning and disinfecting, making sure that we're not touching our eyes, nose, and mouth, making sure that we have good air exchange inside the home, and making sure that if we're caring for someone or there is a positive in the home, making sure that we utilize those masks, even inside the home. There is some studies to show that they do significantly help with source control.
What about those close contacts that might occur outside of the home?
Finding ways to isolate that group together, because we need personal connections in life. We can't separate tables and all that kind of stuff. And so it comes down to the individual. Not that you can't go out and eat with friends, but looking for a way to keep that small, close group and keep that group the same all the time. And so I think some of those things will help us to, as we move forward with COVID in the community, I think I think those will help us to have some level of normalcy while also implementing that COVID year where, you know, not everything's going to be as it was prior to. And so as we move forward, I think those decisions will help.
Okay. You mentioned something there, the vaccines. And that's another thing we wanted to hit on today. The flu shot, you're starting to see signs around town for flu shots, starting to hear a little bit about that. Why is that so important this year while we're dealing with COVID?
So, the you know, when you have any kind of new virus, and it really doesn't matter what it is, we obviously don't have effective treatments for COVID-19. We obviously don't have an effective vaccine for COVID-19. We have these non-pharmaceutical interventions, the social distancing and things like that. But if we make ourselves healthier, so, and that's not just the flu vaccine, that's healthier in general. If we eat healthy, exercise, get plenty of sleep, find time to unwind, unplug from the news media, unplug from Facebook, all of those types of things help to make you individually healthier. And the healthier we can make individuals in our population, the better their bodies can battle whatever virus it is, whether it's flu, cold, whether it's COVID, no matter what that virus is, the healthier we are individually. And so flu shots are one of those really easy steps to help yourself be healthier, to help your body, your immune system to battle the flu virus so that you don't have some kind of a compromised immune response or your body's dealing with one virus and it makes it easier to contract another. So the flu shot this year is going to be extremely important just for a healthier community in general. And it will be important to try and battle the having multiple viruses at the same time. It's your body doesn't just shut down. It doesn't only accept one virus at a time. So If we can help, we know the flu shot works for the flu. We know it's effective in a community mitigation standpoint. We know it's effective for personal health, as well as all vaccines. We've seen a significant decrease in vaccinations at the health department throughout this COVID pandemic. We've seen a significant decrease in people reaching out for basic medical care. We have people that are afraid if they go see their doctor, they might get COVID, or if they're, you know, if they come into an office, they might get COVID. And so we have people that are limiting some of those positive health moves for fear of getting COVID, when really we should be encouraging people to seek out those healthy lifestyles, to seek out medical treatment if it's needed, to have a conversation with their doctors about what additional steps they can take personally to become more healthy, so that their bodies can deal with the
COVID-19. Okay. Well, sir, we're about out of time. Anything else you want to hit on real quick before we go?
No, the health department, we will start doing flu vaccines in October 1. I know Hayes Med has their flu shot drive. Off the top of my head, I don't know what day it is, so I don't want to screw people up, but make sure you look for that information. Call your doctor. I know the pharmacies in town are doing flu shots. So making sure that we're encouraging everybody to get out and get those vaccines. There's the regular dose vaccine, then there's also the high dose vaccine for those 65 and over. So make sure you have that conversation with your primary care provider of which vaccine is appropriate for you, and making sure that we're promoting those healthy lifestyles. I think I can't express that enough, probably, that eating healthy, exercising, getting sleep, and then taking those basic health measures with COVID, they also battle flu, and that is the social distancing, avoiding those large gatherings, making sure that we wash our hands, we don't touch our eyes, nose, and mouth, that common the cleaning and disinfecting. We've talked in the past, you can go overboard with cleaning and disinfecting, so just making sure that we're cleaning those high-use surfaces, and then encourage people to utilize masks if you cannot if you can't socially distance, you can't be away from people, and just protect the community, build healthy, strong communities, and making sure that we're taking care of each other mentally, physically, and unplug from Facebook, unplug from the news media. Take a break, read a book, do whatever you need to do to make yourself mentally healthy as well.
Excellent advice. Jason, thanks so much again for taking the time out with us today. It was great catching up with you, and I look forward to talking to you again soon, but you stay safe out there, okay?
Sounds good. Same to you, James. Ellis County, keep pushing those numbers down. Make smart choices. Protect yourself and those around you.